Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, dope?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the Cool Check-In.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We get a people what they want.
Joining us in studio later is who, Jalen Rose?
Ryan Montgomery.
Also known as
Royce the 5'9".
He will join us next, but we start with this. I keep waiting for the 49ers to disappoint me. I keep waiting for it to happen, and it just doesn't happen. The latest was last night. They didn't just beat the Packers. They waxed the Packers. Is it now time for us to consider them the best team in the NFC?
And putting some respect on a lot of the defensive players' names, like Armstrong. You hear about Richard Sherman. But that defense on every level has been so very dominant. And I have to just say one other thing, too.
What else are you going
to
say, Mr. Rose?
Aaron Rodgers has been average this year.
Oh! Oh, now we're going average for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I picked him in fantasy. So I see these numbers up close and personal. So I don't care what the hype is out there. Okay, he's a terrific player overall. And yes, he's a Hall of Famer, a champion, and all of that. But his numbers. He completed 20 balls yesterday. For 100 yards, barely. How do you have 20 completions and only get 100 total
sounds
yards?
Sounds like some Tom Brady stuff, really.
Come on, man. Now, that defense, again, I want to make sure I bow down and pay all homage to the 49ers defense.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron Rodgers and that offense was as inept as I have seen.
Well, to be fair, Aaron Rodgers had red jerseys next to him every time he dropped back.
He did.
Every time he dropped back, there's a red jersey right in his face.
He did.
That wasn't necessarily on him as much as it was the offensive line protecting him.
Absolutely. Sacks on sacks on sacks. They get to the quarterback. You don't have to cover long, and then their D-backs made plays.
You know what? Aaron Rodgers wasn't that great. But Jimmy G was. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is someone who cannot be disrespected anymore. Like, he used to be kind of a punchline. We talk about how he's handsome, and, you know, he was hurt last year. But he has proven that it's not just the defense carrying this team. Jimmy G was putting balls right where he needed to last night.
I keep telling you guys this. He's not an underrated player. They gave him over $100 million to play football after maybe 10 games.
Seven games, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So they saw the potential in him. And I want to make sure I give Kyle Shanahan a ton of credit. Because when you leave a squad and you take players with you, that means you know that they could do something special that they wasn't doing in their other team. And that's what he did in Coleman. Mm. And you see that now all of a sudden they could get multiple games where they have a couple of rush TDs. They have terrific balance. Once you add Sanders, you give Garoppolo a number one. And can we not ignore a guy caught a touchdown yesterday? His last name is Samuel. But can we give him love for being named Debo?
Yes.
Like, seriously, am I the only person?
But you expect him to be like a defensive lineman or something, to be 300 pounds of muscle? Like, no, he's not even that big.
Right.
But his name is Debo anyway.
His parents was watching a lot of Friday, I bet you. And also, we got a security blanket back in Kittle, who's performing like arguably the best tight end in the league.
Absolutely. Well, that wasn't the only big game yesterday. How about them Cowboys? The Cowboys went into Foxborough. The weather was bad, but they couldn't score. They ended up the game with 9 points. They could not score a single touchdown. And Jerry Jones had some interesting words after the game, as he always does. Let's listen to the owner of the Cowboys.
A significant setback for our team. We needed this win. We needed to win against an opponent like this. We haven't had them. This is very frustrating. It's frustrating to just be reminded that some of the fundamentals of football and coaching were what beat us out there today. I don't think there's a game that a coaching staff has areas that couldn't do better in. And I don't like it that we've got so many as I'm standing here tonight. The makeup of this team, I shouldn't be.
He's mad. Jerry Jones is unhappy. Jalen, is this the end of Jason Garrett's tenure as the Cowboys head coach?
See, on Sundays, I'm watching 10, 12 hours of football.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this ritual because I want to be prepared for this show and any
appreciate
other shows that I do. And I don't know which games we're going to ultimately talk about. So I enjoy all of them.
You know we're talking about the Cowboys.
I know. And I do this thing where I take a lot of notes and I walk around the house and my wife calls me Jay McVay. And I'm writing down all of these notes for all of these games. Because I want to be as prepared as anybody in this industry when it comes to talking about sports. And let me tell you what I wrote down when it was 10-0 in the second quarter of this game.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down missed field goal, block punt, interception. Dak bad throw to Cobb on third and two, which led into a field goal. They are going to lose.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely going to lose. You can tell the whole game.
And the Patriots do something that I wish my Lions did. They play in the elements. Okay? So now all of a sudden it's raining outside. Dallas plays in the dome. They didn't look like they were familiar with playing in the elements. The Patriots practicing that. They play in that. They're used to that. They get terrific at home. So I understand how Jerry wants to be frustrated about his coaching and the special teams play and all of that good stuff. But the Patriots did something really special defensively.
They were great on defense this day.
Amari Cooper, silenced.
Wait, how many catches did he have?
He had less than Stephon Gilmore.
How many catches did he have?
And the problem is one of them is a defensive back.
Yes. That's
the problem. So he was on lock. Ezekiel didn't get 100. The elements were really bad. So I want to give the Patriots credit, not necessarily talk about what the Dallas Cowboys didn't do, because yesterday wasn't a surprise to me. They haven't beaten a winning team all season.
No.
And so yesterday just continues to compound that fact.
You know what really bothers me about this Cowboys team?
What's that?
They're going to make the playoffs. That really bothers me about this Cowboys team. This Cowboys team does not deserve to make the playoffs, but their division is just so trash that they're going to end up in the playoffs.
You know what else bothers me? I really don't want an owner giving live interviews real time after a game. That just kind of undermines everything. But for everybody out there and that thinks that, oh, so now Jason Garrett's going to be the scapegoat, and all of a sudden he's going to go hire the top prospect like a, let's go write a blank check for Lincoln Riley. How many years have you heard me say how much I love Jimmy Johnson? You know how much I love the U.
Every time we talk about the Cowboys.
You know how much I love the U.
Every time we talk about the Cowboys, you bring this up. This really hurts your heart, doesn't
it? It does. And he won Super Bowls for Jerry Jones. Still ain't put him in the ring of honor to this
day. This really bothers you.
To this day.
This really bothers you.
Because that level of petty lets you know not only does he want to win, we all want to win, but he wants to win being the face.
Jerry Jones.
The figure.
You know what? Jimmy Johnson is celebrated more as a Survivor contestant than the head coach of the Cowboys. He really is. You know what? So much happened in the NFL that it almost overshadowed what happened in the NBA. Luka Doncic. Not only has he put together a season so far, it's up against that man. Look at James Harden. He went up against James Harden and out James Harden. He had 41 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists, and not just that, had a win against the Rockets, who've been playing well. Luka Doncic is on a tear, Jalen Rose.
Easy like Sunday morning.
It makes it look easy.
Not out of control, really disciplined. I love the edge that he plays with, the versatility that he has, playing in all phases. Is a clutch performer, showed to be that last year. All right, he's a dynamic 20-year-old.
Yes.
And see, I'm not one of those guys to give away hyperbole fast.
You're about to say something, aren't you?
I am about to say something. When you start talking about the best players in the league, he's there right now.
He's up there. He's up there now.
He up there right
he's
now.
He's top 10. He's top
right
10 for sure.
Now. And that's so very impressive, A, to accomplish, and for me to acknowledge in only his second season.
But he never looks pressed. He's unbothered on the court.
Easy.
It just seems like he's a natural. Like, you see certain players, they're trying. Like, you look at Westbrook, like, he's giving his all every single night. Doncic seems like he's got another gear to get to. Look at his last four games. Just the last four times that he laced his sneakers and took an NBA court. 37 points, 8.5 rebounds, almost 12 assists, shoot 55 from the floor, and that's just in 31 minutes.
So I'll give you the most impressive thing of all of that, the minutes per game.
Mm-hmm.
You getting 37 in 31 minutes and plus giving me 12 dimes and grab me 8.5 boards?
It's crazy.
There ain't too many people that have walked the face of this earth have done that.
And he's 20 years old. You know what the wildest thing about him is? They're like, oh, you know, he's playing well this year because he got in shape. Like, you're 19, dude. You got in shape? Like, that's how you took the leap? You got in shape?
But also, I want to continue to acknowledge American-born players, i.e. Zion Williamson, are required to go to college. International prospects like Luka have been playing professional for the last handful of years. So he enters the league game ready.
Yeah.
And now his basketball intellect and his experience carries him. So we look at him as being 20 in his second year, but it's like his fifth year, really.
When he got drafted, he was already a finals MVP. When he got drafted. When I lived in Los Angeles, my kids love to look up and see the Goodyear blimp. That meant that something was going on. There was an event. Something was happening. They love the Goodyear blimp. And sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage for some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher, to rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires that rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven. Jalen Rose, who is in studio with us right now?
A well-dressed, handsome young man representing the Murder Mitten, Detroit City. His government name is Ryan Montgomery.
Ryan.
But since he spits bars, he adopted a name. Royster 5'9 is it, and he's in the building.
I'll take it.
Welcome, family.
So we do the podcast portion. We do exclusive content for the podcast. And some of the things we talk about in the podcast are things we can't talk about in the TV show because the executives, they watch the TV show. They don't listen to the podcast. I want to get your thoughts on the Colin Kaepernick situation and the workout that he had and just how you feel the relationship between the NFL and Colin Kaepernick is gone.
Very difficult for me to speak on it objectively because I'm not quite sure if I'm always in the know of what I'm looking at. I don't really I do understand that the most powerful person in the equation is usually who controls the narrative no matter what it seems to be. So I don't really feel like the NFL deserves Colin Kaepernick. You know, it's like a double-edged sword. It's like, on one end, it kind of looks like that they kind of set it up to make it look a certain way in an attempt to make him look away.
Yep.
And I don't think they're being held accountable for really anything. I think that everybody's just kind of putting everything on Cap. I hate to just be the guy that's just on the Cap train.
No, you know what I mean? But
when you're talking about two entities, you know, going into business with each other, you know, everybody needs to be held liable, man. You know, you show up with a waiver that's that's not standard. And you're basically asking me to sign something that says you can't sue me for discriminating against you.
Yeah.
Though I'm about
again
to discriminate against you.
Yeah.
After I've discriminated against you already and never been held accountable. So, you know, I don't know. But then I can also be looking at, you know, somebody who's just, you know, was there acting like a crazy football player. Who knows? You know what I mean?
One of the things that some people tried to give him criticism for was his shirt that I thought was dope, the Kunta Kinte one, and I really want one so very bad. Did you have a problem with what he chose to rock on his workout?
Of course not. I mean, it's people jump up and down about things that don't matter. It's like, that's what does it matter what he's wearing? You know what I mean? And it's just like, we got to get out of that space where we're uncomfortable with certain narratives. You know, everybody needs to be a little bit more comfortable with that. I think that kind of feeds the problem, which is, you know, systematic racism.
And they're like, one of the things that bothered me is all right, we're going to film it and we're going to disseminate the video to the teams that could potentially hire you. And as someone who's worked in television for 20 years, you can edit anything to make it look like anything. So I would not be comfortable with me doing a workout behind closed doors that the media can't see, and then the resulting footage is controlled by the NFL and distributed by the NFL. Mm-hmm. That is something that I would not agree to.
I think it was genius for him to at least take a step forward and say, look, I'm going to make an attempt to control this narrative.
I do too. And for our IG Interactive who just joined us, this well-dressed, handsome gentleman, his name is Ryan Montgomery.
Ryan Montgomery in the house.
But since he spits bars, the world knows him as Royce the 5'9 in the building.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
as
sir.
We get some exclusive pod content, I have to ask you something. It's really important.
Okay. Oh.
You get a chance to share a studio, share records, share ideas, friendship.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest MCs of all time, Marshall Mathers.
Mm-hmm.
What is that like?
It changes. It changes throughout the years. He's a very dynamic. He's very dynamic, and his perspective changes a lot. And, you know, we grow. We grow as we get older. And then, you know, we have moments of digression. You know, like we have moments of supreme consciousness and connection, and then we have moments of disconnect. You know what I mean? So it's like I enjoy all the moments around him for different reasons. You know what I mean? I like watching him go through the various stages, and I like seeing him challenge himself and like try to figure out different ways to just kind of like move the needle in a way where it hasn't been moved before.
I got to ask you about a record. You were on this song. It's called Renegade.
Mm-hmm.
And your bars.
I just said something in the verse about that song.
We're A+.
Yeah, where'd it go?
What ended up happening with that record, Ryan?
We did that song. We had two songs. I had a situation with Sony Records back then, and the agreement that we came up with my people and Marshall's people was it was going to be one song that we were going to have to use and get single rights and all of that. You know what I mean? So we did two songs. We did Rock City, which was ended up being a single, and then we did Renegade. And you know, it was just kind of like one of those things where it was just like we recorded it, but we had recorded so much music with each other just period. You know what I mean? That it was just one of them songs where it was just like, we didn't dislike it. We didn't like, we weren't like obsessing over it. Like it was like, we just reinvented the wheel. You know what I mean? It was just one of them things where it was just like, I had a certain agenda with what I was doing with my album. He was on a whole different playing field with what he was doing with his album. We weren't like invested in it like that. So when Jay-Z showed up and he needed it and M had already been like kind of like missing the opportunity every time, it just made sense. And that's probably why when you heard their version, it's classic.
Did you ever get a phone call? Like, what, like how did you get notified? How did that happen?
Marshall hit me up. He hit me up and asked me, was I cool with it? And I felt like that. I was just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, thank you for even asking.
Yeah, what are you going to say? No.
You didn't even need to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't need to get my approval on that. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't my song. You know what I mean? Like, I agreed to pick one. Once I picked that one, then that's just free. That's free game.
There you go. So we're going to talk about this in the television portion, but why is Jalen Rose the only person walking the planet with your new album? Why is that the case? Because he kind of puts it in my face every single day. He's like, yo, you got to hear this new Royce. You got to hear this new Royce. I'm like, I want to hear the new Royce. You can forward me the email.
Not going to be able to do it.
You can forward me the email.
Never.
Why is Jalen Rose the only person with your
nobody,
new album?
Never.
It's like a phobia that I have to just have like stuff floating, like in the cloud. You know what I mean? Like I try not to email stuff a lot and stuff like that. I got like a phobia, but I always try to get, I got like a few people that I always try to get stuff to first before I put it out. And I've done that with him with every album. But you can come join the party, man, if you want.
No, man, I'm not going to invite myself. I'm just going to take Jalen's phone when he's not looking. I know his passcode. I'm going to get in there.
So the album is called I'm excited for this project so very much. And when I hear a dope album, it seems to always remind me of another one that I've heard. And hopefully you like this comparison, but it kind of reminded me of Public Enemy, It Takes a Nation of Millions, and Ice Cube, America's Most Wanted.
I heard that. I heard that in the studio, I heard those comparisons. And that's like, you know, that's in the presence of greatness.
Those are top 10 albums.
That people don't want to admit, which makes it better. Which makes it better because then that lets you know it's no smoke. You know what I mean? It's no sorcery, no magic tricks. It is what it is.
Correct. The bars, the consciousness, the part that makes you think. I love what you do with your son on the album. He's so intelligent. He's smarter than Jacoby right now.
That's not a high bar to get over.
So much depth. Mm. So in a project like that, it clearly takes a long time, in my opinion. I've never written a record. To come up with something that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Royce, those ain't just songs. That's a book. So can you talk me through the process of putting that classic album together?
Man, I appreciate you calling it a classic. I mean, it's just really, it's really the only way that I know how to do a project and consider it as complete to myself. And feel fulfillment, because that's really what I'm about. I'm about the completion of things. You know, I'm not really like you know, that's what success is to me. Like, I finish it. I finally finish it. I feel like it's right. That's like, that's the celebration for me. So, like, it started off as it was supposed to be an EP. I agreed to do an EP because I produced the whole thing. So I just started making beats. You know what I mean? So it was like, I was just like, nah, I'm not, I'll do an EP. And I couldn't figure out how to make 2, 3, 4 songs exist with each other. So it just like, it just start turning into more music. And then, you know, like my perspective started to change a lot. Just, I was already going through something while I was doing it anyway. I'm always going through something. Spiritual awakenings all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, I'm always seeing things differently from how I seen them 2 weeks ago. And I always try to make the work indicative of where I am at the time. So it's like, this is the first album that I always say it happened to me. Like, as opposed to me setting out to do it. Because I wasn't doing nothing. I was just chilling.
So you said you produced it. You made all the beats on the album?
Every single beat.
What?
Oh, man.
Yep. This is like some Picasso stuff.
Oh, man. That is crazy.
I always say that there's always a team behind everything. But this sounds like an individual effort.
It's a team. It's a team of people that, I got like a select group of like masters, straight up masters that I can call for anything. Bink, Mr. Porter, Carlos Brody, DJ Premier, you know, and it's like, when you have that kind of support group, you use it wisely. So if I'm gonna let them come in and hold my hand and do things, I might as well just let them produce it. You know what I mean? It, like, it takes away from the thrill. So it's like, just me trying to figure out ways to get knowledge from them and learn how to do things, all the little nuances and stuff, without them holding my hand was tough. You know what I mean? Like, and a lot of it was just, it took for me to be in a room by myself as much as possible.
Take me to the room. Where is this physical space?
Heaven Studios in Detroit. It's the Heaven Studios in Detroit. It's I get my most work done probably like, once it hits like 3 a.m., 3, 4 a.m., and I'm by myself, that's like, I'm like probably the happiest I can be, second to when I'm around my family, my wife and kids. You know, that alone time is like my only time where I could think the phone is not ringing and I could get to that place where I'm not trying hard. You know what I mean? Like, things are happening as opposed to me forcing it. You know what I mean? Or being like, oh, I need this kind of record and I need this. You know, that's a total, like, clash with the natural vibe. You know what I'm saying? So,
and for our audience, it's important for me to say this. As somebody that got exposed to drugs and alcohol myself at an early age, and now in hip-hop or just in lifestyle, so many young people, it just kind of goes hand-in-hand with their day. Can you talk to them about your sobriety and how important that is to your journey?
Well, I mean, that was my first spiritual awakening. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I came to the realization that I can't drink. It's like, it gets in the way of everything. I don't make good decisions. I don't like the way I feel after I do it. And it's not healthy. You know what I mean? Like, once I came to that realization, I decided to start taking steps. And then once I did that, you know, like, the things that opened up, like, just a stream of consciousness, like the knowledge that came from that. You know what I mean? Like, you're able to police yourself in a much more effective way when you're just clicking on all cylinders 24 hours a day.
So for somebody that has that awakening and wants to take that step, can you give them some advice on how to get on that journey or how to get on that road?
I think everybody has their way. You know what I mean? I think the first thing is just, if you can get to a place where you're admitting that you have a problem, I think that's a very strong space for you to get to. And a lot of people think that that space is a space of weakness, but it's the absolute opposite. You know, like, you're finally there. Like, you're not looking for validation. You're not worried as much as what others think, because there's no repercussion now. I'm admitting it. I'm disarming everybody. I have a problem. And then once you're able to admit that, then, you know, like, you allowing people to help you now. You know, it's like, if you can't get to that space, then all I can just do is talk to you and give you advice based off of my journey. But it's, you won't be able to apply it until you get there to that space.
We really appreciate you spending time, especially with the podcast exclusive and the IG live, you know, cause, this is always a more intimate and conversational part
yes,
of
sir.
Our show.
Yes,
but
sir.
Now let's do some TV. Let's get people to
do it.
Just okay is not okay. No matter what you're talking about, whether it's your wireless network or your college football. So on Saturday morning, when you're looking for a game to watch, we know you're all in on your team, but after that game is over, don't settle for just an okay matchup. Watch the best matchup. Do what I do. I find the best game that's going on with the best teams and the best players, just like choosing a wireless network. You want to go with America's best network, that's AT&T. Just like the best and the best of college football, never settle for just okay. Whether you're talking about what meats you're going to put in the grill, I get the best meats. What beverages you're drinking, I get the best beverages. What people you're tailgating with, I get the best people. The best environment, the best of everything, because okay is not okay, especially when it comes to your wireless network. So get AT&T, America's best network. Stay on top of your game all season long. Best network based on GWS One Score, September 2019. The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. So your song, Black Savage, is not just a banger, a guaranteed hit. First time you hear it, you're like, oh, that's a hit. It has also been selected as one of the NFL's songs of the season. How did that happen? How did that come to be?
It was random conversations. I mean, obviously, as soon as I heard that the NFL and Roc Nation were getting together, and you know, like the tag alone, Inspire Change, the Inspire Change initiative, it just totally fits like the mind frame that I was in, even writing the song. You know, I was just kind of looking at it. I was kind of looking at everything and the way that we're portrayed, you know, like, you know, on TV and everything. And I just feel like there needs to be a little bit of a balance. If people are going to see us, they need to see us for what we really are. You know what I mean? And like a cool way to do that is to take some of the words with negative connotations to them and kind of redefine them. Mm. And you know, that makes it subjective from that point. You know what I mean?
It's not a safe song. It's not like a pop song, like a family friendly pop song.
Well, yeah, you know, that's not what hip hop is. That's not what hip hop, that's like something that's been, you know, they try to indoctrinate that in us when we first get into the business, you know, going pop. It's like success. It's not success. That's not what hip hop is. You know what I mean? Like hip hop is speaking to the world unapologetically your truth in a way that can bring on positivity. And I'm like, that's kind of like where I am mentally right now. And that's where I am with the song. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, we talk about how we want to have sex with everybody's girl, but how come we don't talk about being faithful to our wife? Mm-hmm. We talk about getting drunk. Why don't we talk about being sober? Mm. Let's just be who we are. You know what I mean? And if sober is what you are, then I think that's what would resonate the best, if you just unapologetically be that, you know, and not, I'm in a way more comfortable space, just not having to like please anybody, or you know what I mean? Like everybody's out here just like conflating and you know, and just people pleasing. And you know, it's art to me. It's like I throw paint on the canvas and I hang it up and I just move on to the next thing.
And as a friend and a fan of yours, I've always been impressed by how you never sacrificed your morals for public consumption. And so I appreciate not only your lyrics and your consciousness, but your consistency. So for a song like this to get this type of support, how does it feel to you as somebody, as you mentioned, that just sees himself as an artist and never is going to compromise his values?
Yeah, I'm honored. I love it. Cause it's like, when I hang it up, I'm like, yo, it's for anybody. It's for anybody to come enjoy. You don't have to like it, and I'm cool with that too. But if you like it, yo, we always want to be, you know, like, we want to be known. We want to be appreciated for our contributions. You know what I mean? Like, we don't necessarily hang our hat on it and obsess over it, but you know what I mean? Like, it feels good to be recognized by anybody. So it's an honor.
Royce, you're from Detroit.
What up, dog?
Obviously, yes. I do the show with Jalen Rose. Mm-hmm. So I've heard about the Fab Five, but I can't imagine what it's like to experience the Fab Five in Detroit at that time. Take me to that time and place and what the Fab Five meant to you in the city.
Yes, energy, cultural phenomenons, influence, things that range far beyond the span of just basketball. Mm. You know, like, and it's you can draw a correlation between the way that they impacted culture, like how hip hop impacted culture. You know, just unapologetically you and taking, you know, the nuances that are there and then just making them your own, doing little things that makes them. And then, you know, we all wanted to do it too. So, you know, we had to cut off sleeves. We had the big shorts.
Everybody did.
I was shooting left hand jumpers. I had this dude who was trying to convince us that he was ambidextrous because of this man. Like his shot was terrible. He used to always pull up with the left. I'm like, bro, if you don't shoot with the right hand. Yeah, but it was just, they had us gone, man. They had us gone. I don't think we're going to see that ever again.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So I'm going to ask you a question that I can't even answer myself.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your top five dead or alive MCs?
Ooh!
You think that's possible to answer?
That's why I'm like, ooh!
I think it's just a narrative at this point, man. Like, the more generations that pass by, the more impossible that becomes.
Mm.
It's not possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's like, you can't put five people together. That's conflation. That's all that is.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's like you got different people for different reasons. Like there's certain people that I feel you can't even compare to each other. You know what I mean? Like Dr. Dre's first verse on G-Thing is the perfect verse.
Mm.
It's a perfect verse. You know what I mean? So it's like, can you compare that to Jay-Z's verse on the Dynasty album? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's two different things. It's two totally different contributions in two different ways.
Mm.
That one can't discredit the other. It's just not, you may not have an honest conversation at that point.
So what about some of the artists that inspired you?
Yeah, I'm inspired by, like, I grew up on, you know, like Cube, DOC, Redman, obviously, you know, I'm really vocal about that. I love Redman, Razzcass, Busta Rhyme, I love N.W.A., all the Chronic albums. And then, you know, when Biggie, Nas, Jay-Z came around,
yeah,
I was all in.
I have a very important question. Why is Jalen Rose the only person on the planet with your new album? When are you going to share your new album with the rest of us?
Bars!
When can citizens get your new album?
We got like a party. We got like a party that we're at. It's to listen to the album before anybody hears it party, just to make sure that we're not tripping. You know
when
I mean?
Can the rest of us get the album? Because Jalen won't stop talking about it.
And I'm not forwarding it to you.
I already asked. I want to thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you for
Royce
having
me. Royce the 5'9". The new album's going to be released to more people that aren't named Jalen Rose at some point. But we appreciate you coming through. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you for having me, man.
Thanks for the love.
Jalen Rose, something we've been talking about for a long time. Some changes to the schedule of the NBA. My guy, Adrian Wojnarowski, tweeted over the weekend the following. He tweeted, reporting with Zach Lowe, NBA's engaged in serious discussions with the NBPA and broadcast partners on sweeping dramatic changes to the league calendar that include reseeding of the conference finals, an in-season tournament, and a postseason play-in. Jalen, reseeding of the conference finals seems like a compromise. I think reseeding of the playoffs is what we were asking for.
Preach to me.
An in-season tournament, yeah, I don't really care. But the postseason play-in is really interesting to me.
Well, this is things that we've talked about for a long time, mm-hmm. and what ended up happening, Jacoby, is the era's changed really fast from when a player valued the 82-game schedule and took pride in showing up every night versus the analytical society now having its say to the point where you have a 19-year-old in John Morant missing games early in the season due to load management.
Yep.
You have to find a way to make the regular season attractive again. Adam Silver's working at doing so.
So we think it should be 1 through 16, but they're not going to do that because the Eastern Conference owners won't vote for it. But remixing the conference finalist is interesting. So essentially the team with the lowest record will play the team with the highest record, but does it skew towards the East because they play Eastern Conference foes, so their records will be higher anyway?
Correct. And that's why I felt like it should be an actual 1 through 16 seeding. And I think it's going to eventually get there. Hopefully we're around to see it based on exactly what you just said. The Eastern, in your own conference, you play 52 games.
So you're going to have a higher record. Jalen Rose, tonight we have the greatest show in the NFL, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens taking on the Rams. Any chance the Rams upset the Ravens?
Lamar and the Ravens are for the culture.
They really are.
Humphrey, my guy playing Ingram, D-back, Earl Thomas.
Big trust.
You know,
As far as
I'm concerned, the Ravens are going to go undefeated.
You know what?
And they already lost
the game.
You know
why I love this game? Because they'll be up by so much at halftime I can go to sleep. That's why I love this matchup.
But this is why you add Jalen Ramsey to go with Aaron Donald. Uh-huh. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
I want
to
thank Royce the 5'9 for coming through. Only Jalen Rose has an album. We will all get the album at some point.
Boss!
In the coming months. We'll be back tomorrow with another Dope Pod to Step 2.